Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. Today is January 17th, 26. Shevet 16, 30. Anyway, we're going to, it's 2029. We're going to pick up our first service today. Behold, I make all things new by V.T. Harper, Shepherd Rod, Volume 1 book. And we're on page 61. The title of our sermon, Behold, I make all things new. This is, here the rod here at the point, Micah 6:9. Sunken in the lid of sin's slumber and asleep, the city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the Yahweh's mercy for effort to prepare it against this day of the trouble is to be startled to life by his urgent cry. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. It says, arise, arise. No, arise and shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahshua is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and in gross darkness the people. But the Yahshua shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come unto thy light, and change unto the brightness of thy rising. Isaiah 60:1-3. For the church of the latter sins, being the last of the seven churches, is the last section of the Protestant churches, or the last section of the Protestant church. So the Adventist church is the last section of the Protestant church, in which the wheat and the tares are commingled. For the overcomers, as the marked ones, from the Adventist church, those who hear the rod begin the eighth section. Okay. So, the eighth section is in the 12th hour that started in 2002 at Carmel, Texas, when we separated from Brother Stubbs Johnson. For he was the leader of the seventh section, the Latter Sin Church, got finished out in 2002 at Kermit, finished out the movement for the Adventist Church. Okay, so he said, began the eighth section of the church, the one symbolized by the barn. Matthew 13:30, and by the vessel, Matthew 13:48, also by the golden candlestick of Zechariah 4. Now this is important. This golden candlestick of Zechariah 4 is your 10th candlestick overall, starting with the Old Testament being the first candlestick, the New Testament being the second candlestick, and then the seven candlesticks of the seven churches in Revelation 1 and 2 and 3, Ephesus to Laodicea, so that makes nine candlesticks, and then that golden candlestick in Zechariah 4 represents the tenth candlestick, and that's who we represent, alright? Of her, the Yahshua said, the Gentiles shall see the righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh. Actually, this is a Yahshua here. Let's read that again. And thou shalt be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. And, this is in addition to now, a royal diadem in the hand of the Father Yahweh. Isaiah 62:2-3. Among the Laodiceans, Adventists, however, those who refuse to arouse and take in the situation, who will not sigh and cry for all of the abominations that are done in the midst of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Ezekiel 9:4, will be left without the mark and will consequently fall under or with the slaughter of the weapons of the angels of Ezekiel 9, while those who received their mark will escape them and be shielded from the trouble, for the shields being symbolized, let's do it again, as the shields are being symbolized by the barn and the vessel, Matthew 13:30-48. This sparing of the wheat on the one hand and slaying of the tares on the other hand among the first fruits, those in the church, foretoken the sparing of the dead and the slaying of the bad among the second fruits, those in the Babylon, Revelation 18:4. Henceforth, the work in the Laodicea Adventist Church typifies that in the Babylon. Okay. While the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is now marking the first fruit of his kingdom, those in Laodicea, with the ancient man, of Ezekiel 9:6, Testimonies 5:2-11, supposing themselves to be doing his bidding by the fortune of the laity, not to listen to the Yahshua's messengers, and not to read his message, and the shepherd's rod are attempting to prevent them from receiving his mark, which is to keep them from perishing. And as prophecy showed, this war, when finished in Laodicea, spreads into Babylon. As the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, begins marking the second priest of his kingdom, that is the Gentiles, and as the beast, supposing himself as the ancient men now, to be doing the Yahshua's bidding, decrees that all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, Revelation 13:16, receive his mark, rather than the Yahshua's, which is to keep them also from perishing. These two markings, the beast and the Yahshua's, in themselves show a time of the separating of the citizens of the heaven from the citizens of the world. And because this is a work such as never was, it brings the time of the trouble such as never was. The great and dreadful day of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, for the present trouble in the Seventh Adventist Laodicea, is therefore to spread into Babylon, that's where the Gentiles are, and develop into the time of the trouble, such as never was, a development that shows that the same satanic power now working in the SDA Laodicea will soon fully manifest itself in the consolidation with the beast within the Protestant churches that are in Babylon, and you know what they are. That's the Gentile Sunday-keeping churches. And Adventist is one of these churches, even though they keep the Sabbath. They're to oppose the marking of the second priest, the Gentiles, as it is now in SDA Laodicea, opposing the marking of the first priest. And furthermore, as the eighth section, and that's the purified church of the living, that started separated from 19 and 20,003 at Kermit, Texas, with Rose Johnson as the leader of the seventh section, the Seventh-day Adventists, with the eighth section. Mount Zion at the 12th hour is the name of the 8th section. Now, the branch division 7th of Adams was the name, last name of the 7th section, the SDA. So let's read that again. And furthermore, as the 8th section of the SDA Church, the Church Eternal, now this is, of this section, this is the Church Eternal. It is of the seventh section, the church that was not eternal. So the Adventist church is not eternal. It's the eighth section of her that is eternal. The church temporal, this so the eighth beast, the post-millennial, world is of the seventh beast. Okay. So, Revelation 17:11, the pre-millennial world. So your number seven beast is pre-millennial, and your number eight beast is post-millennial. This inescapable parallelism between the work of Yahweh and the work of Satan, that inspiration so sharply and vividly brings into the focus speaks for itself that we are entering into the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, a fact which should stir our hearts as nothing ever has. And since henceforth, from the time that the 144,000 are marked, and the sinners taken away from among them, no more shall the wicked commingle with the righteous from that time on forever. Therefore, the kingdom church, this is a Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the 8th section. That's who we represent since 2003 at Kermit, Texas. When we were separated from there, the 8th stays pure. So this kingdom church, the 7th kingdom church, Gilead Center, last of the 7th day of the Adventist church, was not a pure church. But this 8th one will become purified and stay pure. Prophetically looking forward unto the church's purified state, the prophet Zechariah saw that every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host, the Son of Yahweh, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil therein, or the seed, S-E-E-T-H-E, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh. There shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh of hosts. Zechariah 14:21. Let's read that all again. It says, prophetically looking forward unto the church's purified state, the prophet Zechariah saw that every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah, this is the lawgiver, the house of David, that is in charge of all the other 12 tribes of Israel, shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host, the Son of Yahweh, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see the therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of the host, the Son of Yahweh, Zechariah 14:21. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Yahshua, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their king and savior. And they shall see, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more, Jeremiah 31:33-34. Then shall go forth the word of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Isaiah 33:13. Verse 1. All who have acknowledged and profited by his might in the past, along with all who will acknowledge and profit by his might in the future, are to be found in the five groups in the kingdom. Okay. Okay, it says, these groups are, number one, the 144,000 Israelites. The first group of let's do that again. For these groups are, number one, 144,000 Israelites, as the first fruits of the living, whose nobles shall be of themselves, and whose governor shall proceed from the midst of them. For their governor is going to be antithetical David. That's who their king is. The visible king, Yahshua, the invisible king, Jeremiah 30:21. They shall return unto Jerusalem and stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb. Well, actually, Yahshua is not invisible here when he stands as a Lamb on Mount Zion with the 144,000. He's visible. Number two, those whom John saw after the sitting of the 144,000 that was Gentiles, gathered from all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues during the great tribulation, the time of the trouble such as never was, the great multitude who go to Jerusalem before the resurrection. And number three, those who arise to the everlasting life in the resurrection of the Daniel 12:2. Number four, those Israelites who shall come forth in the resurrection of Ezekiel 37:1-14. And number five, all who come in the resurrection of the Revelation 20:6. Collectively, these are all the Israelites and the Gentiles who shall return unto Jerusalem, possess the promised land, and then the whole earth. Ironically, futile, therefore, in the view of what we have seen in these pages, is the ever-strengthening aim to rebuild Jerusalem as one movement is endeavoring to do in response unto the prophecies of the kingdom of heaven, that is, and by taking those, taking there the non-Protestant Jews, taking there the non-believing Jews, and as another movement is endeavoring to do in the response unto the same prophecy, by the taking there the English-speaking world. For a kingdom of the both believers and unbelievers would be none better, none the better than the kingdoms of today. It would in fact be nothing more than a Babylon, nothing more than the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird, Revelation 18:2, to work for such a hope is to take a long step toward bringing in the Satan's powerful delusion, counterfeiting the Yeshua in a counterfeit kingdom. Thus it is that only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive by the Bible testimony. These will detect the deceiver in his disguise. Are the people of the Yahweh now so firmly established upon his word that they would not yield unto the evidence of their senses? Would they, in such a crisis, cling unto the Bible and the Bible only? Great controversy, 6:25. In the view of this urgency for the safeguarding of the Protestants' crowning hope, the kingdom, it is expedient, therefore, to consolidate the main points thus far established in the end-giving. Hence, a summary of the first and second fruits. Number one, when the time of the terrors, the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, is come to its full, then will commence the harvest, and it will bring the end of this world, Matthew 13:30-40, taking place in the end of the 12th hour of the world. Preforce is the gathering of the people by the Elijah's message, the last heaven-sent proclamation of the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation, the ability, everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, which is preached first unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church just before the great and dreadful day of Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, and then unto all the world during that long expected day, for the message finding the net full upon the arrival and subsequently causing a division between those who accept it and those who reject it, it enables the angels to select the bad from among the good. Matthew 13:48. Are these good are the first fruits, 144,000 of the redeemed. Then follows the separation implicit in the call, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. These called out ones are the Gentiles, the second fruits. In the first instance, the bad are cast out from among the good that are caught in the net. The message reposing in the SDA church, whereas in the second instance, only Yahweh is faithful and called out from among the sinners in Babylon, there being no terrors among them, for the terrors and the wheat were commingled in the former instance. Because while men slept, says their word, Hosea, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the enemy came and sowed the tares among the wheat, whereas the wheat is kept free from the tares in the latter instance, because, says Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. This is Mount Zion, the 12th hour, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, as is 62:6. For the Babylon's dominion being symbolized by the scarlet-colored beast, the beast upon which sits the woman, Revelation 17, the symbolization is therefore representative of an international religious political system. Righteous aspect, for the religious aspect, is symbolized by the woman, the civil aspect by the horns of the beast, and the combination is symbolical, a prediction of a worldwide system of the church and state union. The beast alone, exclusive of the horns, represent as do the beast of Daniel 7, the world multitude. The subjects of the antitypical Babylon from among whom Yahweh's people are called, this gathering constitutes the separation of the Gentiles, the second fruits. From this, the truth, as present truth, is again, and present truth is the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. That's through that power of that blood is what's going to gather and separate the good from the bad and going to bring the good into the kingdom. It's through the power of that blood. From this, the truth is again seen that the first and the second fruits of the living, the one gathered from within the church of, at the commencement of the great and dreadful day, and the other gathered out of the Babylon during that day, constitutes the kingdom of heaven at, here on earth at its beginning here in the 12th hour and before the resurrection of the dead in the 12th hour. For the fact, moreover, that only, let's do it again, for the facts show, moreover, that only the good from the net were kept, and that only Yahweh's people were called out of the Babylon, hail the kingdom is the home of the righteous only. And this shall be the covenant, declares Yahshua, concerning this glorious truth of this kingdom that I will make with the house of the Israel. That's the kingdom of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Hebrew. Genesis 49:10, prophecy there by Jacob when he was closing out his day with his 12 sons, saying, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and that's Yahshua's coming, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Let's continue reading now. After those days, it says to Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and I will be their king and emancipator. Let's read that again. For I will put my law in their inward parts and write my law in their hearts, and I will be unto them as their Savior and King. And they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. And they shall call them, claims Isaiah, as the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, Isaiah 62:12. And highway shall be there. He assures, and a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness, as the unclean shall, for the unclean shall not pass over this highway, but it shall be for those, for the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein, Isaiah 35:8. When this gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, of the kingdom of the 12th, of Mount Zion, the 12th hour, here in the 8th section of the kingdom, shall be preached unto all of the world for a witness unto all nations, Matthew 24:14, the work of the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of Yahshua shall end. and probation shall close for every human being. So he says, number three, when both the Jews and Gentiles who have responded unto the call have been gathered from the four corners of the earth, then will the harvest end. Then will the last lingering moment of the probationary time have fled away forever. Then will the end have come. And from the great white throne will have gone forth the immutable fiat. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. Okay, learn to their terror with the passing of the probation that they are forever lost. The neglected will cry out bitterly. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Behold, I come quickly, declares Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Following his solemn pronouncement of the close of the probation, Revelation 22:11, and my reward is with me to give every man according unto his work shall be, Revelation 22:12. Here is anchor evidence that probation closes before the Yahshua's visible return. This is incorrect. I'm going to read this again. Behold, I come quickly, declares Yahshua, following his solemn pronouncement of the close of the probation, Revelation 22:11, and my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be, Revelation 22:12. Here, so, B.T. Hall saying here is anchor evidence that probation closes before the Yahshua's visible return. Probation closes after his visible return. There's so many verses in the Bible, literally dozens of them, that show the second coming of Yahshua here in the 12th parabolic hour. He's got so much work to do. I'm going to do a sermon on that and show you all those verses that talks about his coming and taking up his work before his great army there in Joel chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 9 and so forth, and Revelation 19. At the close of the seventh plague, Yahshua himself visible unto every eye, Revelation 1:7, shall descend from the heaven with a shout. Now this is the Father, not the Son. At the close of the seventh plague, and after probation closes, the Yahweh the Father himself, visible to the every eye, Revelation 1:7, he's only visible to the righteous, that's the reason why he's visible, shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Yahweh the Father, and the dead in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, to meet the Yahweh the Father in the air, and so shall we ever be also with the Father. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. At the close of the seventh plague, okay, let's go on now. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, we'll ever be, and this is actually Yahshua with the Father, with the righteous dead, with the righteous dead of all the ages being resurrected and joined with the living saints, the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, is set up in the 12th parabolic year on his last days, is completely made up with the righteous having been set on his right, the kingdom, and the wicked on his left, Babylon. This is Yahshua, and that's it. All right, let's go on. I want to reread this whole thing again, for this last part that I just read. At the close of the seventh plague, this is number four here, in the last paragraph that we read. At the close of the seventh plague, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh himself, visible unto every eye, Revelation 1:7, shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Father, Yahweh, and the dead in the Yahshua shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. With the righteous dead of all the ages being resurrected and joined with the living saints. That's in the kingdom of heaven here on earth is completely made up of the righteous having been set on Yahshua's right hand when he came in Matthew 25:31-34, right hand of the kingdom, and the wicked on the, and that's here in the 12th hour, the left, Babylon. And then, while the king sends those on his left into everlasting punishment, he says unto those on his right, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:46-34. Following this is realized a long awaited fruition of the glorious hope engendered of the Yahshua's promise, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This stirring hope of every believer is beautifully foreshadowed in the translation of the Enoch, Genesis 5:24. The translation of the Elijah number 2, chapter 2, verse 11. Let's do that again. For this stirring hope of every believer is beautifully foreshadowed in the translation of the Enoch, Genesis 5:24, in the translation of the Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11, and in the resurrection of the multitude whom Yahshua led on high, Matthew 27:52-53, Ephesians 4:8, threefold typification in the triple accord with the Yahweh's law of the type, that where there is type, there must also be an antitype. Okay, where there not assuredly in this connection to be an antitype ascension of all the saints, then there would not have been a type translation of Enoch and Elijah and ascension of the multitude. The type would have been arbitrarily purposeless and misleading. Not only the saints, therefore, but also the heavens shall depart, the wicked shall cry unto the mountains to fall upon them. With the close of the seventh plague will come the fullness of the end of the which acclaims the Revelator. The heavens, the atmosphere, departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty man, and every bondman, and every free man, and in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountain, saying unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Thus thou shalt the Son of Yahweh, and from the thus Yahweh the Father. And it says, in front of the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:14-17. For the fact that all these events close with the second coming of the Yahshua, also the fact, well, when Yahshua comes at the time, he brings all these things himself to a close after he gets you in the 12th hour, when probation is still open. For the fact that all these events close with the second coming of the Yahshua, also the fact that the prophecies plainly declare that Yahweh will gather all the people from among the nations, call forth his own from the graves, catch up all the redeemed, both the living and the resurrected, to meet him in the air, and go with him to the mansions which he has been preparing for them ever since his ascension. Destroy all the wicked, leave the earth empty without life or light, then make it void and without form, and finally let not the dead live again until the 1,000 years are finished. All these facts make manifest that the earth is to be in a state of the chaos while the saints live and reign with Yahshua in the heaven during the 1,000 years. In this way, Satan is bound by a chain of the circumstances which makes impossible his deceiving the nations until the 1,000 years are finished and until the Yahshua again return with the saints, calls forth the wicked dead from their graves and allows them to live for a short season, a season in which Satan again deceives them, looking forward unto the resurrection of the millennium. The Revelator saw that the wicked went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from the Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and of brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. This is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 9, 10, 14. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Daniel 7, 27, 28. Seeing that all these things shall shortly come to pass, stand ye in the way, says Yahshua, and see, and ask for the old past, Jeremiah 6:16. Neither give heed unto fables and endless, genealogies, which minister questions, rather than righteous edifying, but is in the faith in the blood. So do I. First Timothy 1:4. Not giving a heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Titus 1:14, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. My speech and my preaching, says the Apostle Paul, was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh the Father. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. Let this counsel warn the Yahweh's people away from the precarious practice of the hanging their doctrines.
No,
Let's do that again, the last part. It says, let this counsel warns the Yahweh's people away from the precarious practice of hanging their doctrines and their faith on the gilded hooks of the perverted interpretation and of the renderings from the tongues unknown unto them, the Hebrew, the Greek, and this or the other, and interpretative translations that bolster up and serve the interests of theological pronouncements and predictions better than does the authorized version.
I put the heater on.
By the vision which the Yahweh, the Father, and his providence, and in his foreknowledge of the finishing of his work by the English speaking world, has given unto his people to lead them into the kingdom. Beware, therefore, of the pretensions of the pseudo scholarship, which assume to be more dependable than that which the Yahweh himself has chosen and wrought in the simplicity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. This brings in about 30 hour contact us at the 11th hour call, that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.